Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast, of course. Our website is mwcconnection.com. As always, Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Chugging along to get to, I guess, a lower goal. Instead of saying 3,000, let's try to get to 2,800 likes, because we're closer to that than we are 3,000. So if you want to like us there, we have all of our stuff there. Obviously, game recaps, stuff not on our site, videos, a couple of videos, Facebook Live videos. Perhaps with our good friend Matt Kennerly do one the other day about some betting lines. Twitter, MWC Connection. You're stuck with me tonight, Jeremy Moss, nobody else. So I will apologize in advance because it is only me this evening. Matt, if you checked him out on Twitter or our own over at his own handle, Matt K underscore FS, he was at the Fresno State Nebraska game, which we'll get to later, but for about just over 2.5 quarters. It was a competitive game. Fresno is showing some life, but like I said, we'll talk about that later. He ended up doing the drive from Fresno area to Lincoln. Apparently, it's about a 24-hour drive, so he is en route at the moment, I'm assuming, or maybe recording this late at night, maybe taking a pit stop for a break to halfway point or something out in Colorado or southern Utah. But like I said, it's just me for tonight, and we have a week one, there weren't the sexiest of games. There weren't things that were shooting up off the board to like, okay, I want to talk about this or this matchup or this game. There was there's a couple good games, some that shouldn't have happened, some that apparently did. We'll definitely get to that NIU-Wyoming. If you stayed up late, I applaud you. About 2:30 local time there in Laramie by the time that game ended. But a couple things we're going to talk about. Obviously, recaps. This is our week one recap. We'll be doing two shows a week now. And hopefully we'll have Matt joining me every other time down the road. But it's just, like I said, it's just me this evening. A couple of big things we're going to discuss. We'll talk about these kind of in between each game. But quarterback play. Not just play, but more along the lines of who was going to play. Like, there was rumblings. New Mexico is going to play two quarterbacks. UNLV is going to play two quarterbacks. Spoiler, neither did. They each played one QB. Then you had Colorado State, who we figured the starter was going to be Nick Stevens. It was Nick Stevens. And, well, Nick Stevens did not play well. So you had backups in there who showed some signs of life at times as well. And, yeah, QB play a little bit of let's see, Fresno, no QB issue there. They had a little Chase and Virgil come out for a little bit, more of an injury precaution, but he looked pretty good. And Wyoming with Josh Allen, he looked pretty good as well. But a couple of teams and games where we thought there could be more than one QB playing, and that was not the case. So let's just kind of go back. We got these FCS games. We're not going to dive too deep into them just because they're FCS wins. We made the Cal Poly a tad because that was a bit closer versus Nevada. But just really quick, Utah State, Weber State, 45-6. That was all the way back on Thursday night when we had a triple header worth of games. The only thing of note, Weber State's not a good Big Sky team. Utah State came out big. We're up 21-6 to half. Nearly had a shutout. Probably should have had a shutout. But all you really need to take away from this is that Devontae Mays, as we kind of said all year, he's going to run. Utah State's going to run. He's going to be the reason they're going to be good. why Kent Myers gets used to a couple new receivers since Hunter Sharp's no longer around. And, well, again, it's Weber State, but Devontae Mays had 208 yards, three touchdowns. He also had Justin Hervey with a nice 80-yard TD run, and he had Tony Lindsay, 67 yards. Overall, 428 yards, 9.7 attempts. Again, six touchdowns, or not attempts, but yards per reception, or run, I should say. You should do this against this team, so it's not like breaking any news that they rush that well. I guess efficiency is a bit surprising, almost 10 yards a run. And there's not much to say. He went 45-6. Kent Myers was pretty efficient, 11-17. Didn't need to be much more than that, 100 yards. So Utah State has a big game next week versus USC, and so that's where we'll focus on later this week on that game, our preview here on our show, and then also probably do a Q&A with the folks over at Conquest Chronicles, have a recap or two, a couple of notes on the game. There was one note. There was the player who got suspended for a few. I'm pretty sure, well, first off, USC got crushed against Alabama. They were, Lane Kiffin did all he wanted to against his former team, and either USC is going to be roll over and not play well, or they're going to be extremely, extremely upset and want to take it out on Utah State. And so that's kind of where the games are going to go next week when we talk about Utah State, USC, and other those type of things, because that's sitting out on September 10th on Pac-12 Network, noon kick. But trying to see the guy, if you saw the game, which most people probably watched the first little bit, where it's competitive against Alabama, but a player was suspended for, and this would put BYU players to shame, crotch shot. Cleats, very deliberate. It was, who was it? He apologized. Shoot, I'm trying to find his name. I thought I had it up here. It's because he's a starter. And the reason I'm bringing it up, he's going to be suspended for a half, which if you see the play, I think a half is generous. He's lucky to be back. It was a Jabari Ruffin suspended for the first half of Utah State game, had Clay Helton said. He'll write an apology later. By this time, it might be out by now. But this was a full-on lift my foot up, just get you when you're down, the play's over. So losing 52-6 can do that to you, but that's a big one. It's just nasty. Should have been out for a full game, but that's the game where we could see if Utah State's going to maybe rush the ball efficiently. Clearly not as good, but they beat Weber State. They did what they had to do, and this is also the first game on Twitter, which is pretty cool. Campus insiders, everybody did a good job. There was some weather up there, so those shaky cameras were due to that, but it's pretty cool. Like, if you hung out on Twitter, you can comment on the game. You can do vertical or horizontal on your phone and do that type of stuff and chat as well. So that was a good first step there. There also was the Arizona game, or not Arizona game, excuse me. Thinking of Abilene Christian Air Force also on Twitter. So they did a good job, but nothing more, much more to say in this game. We won't know more until we actually see them play a real team. Same with South Dakota and New Mexico. Lobos won big, 48-21 defense. Not as good as I want them to be in this game, because it was, yeah, you give up points sometimes against FCS teams, but it was 14-14 in the first quarter. Lobos pulled away, scoring 21 in the second. But what I talked about before, QB, they had zero. Austin Apodaca got the start. Lamar Jordan, nowhere to be seen. Head coach Bob Davies said, yeah, he'll play, he'll be in there. And, you know, as here, we're kind of a big Lamar Jordan fan just because the way the offense runs. And he's running QB, he'll do that type of thing, can throw a little bit, but not really. But Bob Davies said Saturday after the game, let's see here, I have the exact quote. Maybe it doesn't say it, but basically what he's saying, Thursday's game. This was said on Saturday by the and Sunday by the Albuquerque Journal. Basically saying that expects Lamar Jordan to play again, anticipates him, but he didn't play this past week either. After being said by Coach Davey and to everybody else that, yeah, he'll be in there, he'll be playing, but it's, I don't know. I figured if he's going to play them against a South Dakota team or an FCS team where if there are errors or if there are mistakes, New Mexico should be able to overcome these and not worry about it. But with him not seeing any time, it makes me think Austin Apodaca is going to be the quarterback and the quarterback going forward. Here's the thing, that they brought in LaJuan Johnson, a sophomore out of California, that he came one of two passes, didn't play a ton, but he actually saw time before Jordan did. And he also, he got sacked once. I thought he had a running play there. But so I don't know if they may not need Jordan, because we've always said with New Mexico, everybody sees it, everybody knows it. They run the ball well, and they brought in Apodaca last year. It's a throwing play. Jordan, running QB, will throw a tiny bit. So with Apodaca going 12-16 and 172, again, playing South Dakota, that should be the case, but he's efficient, and they ran the ball well also. Like Taron Gibson, first play, 84-yard touchdown run. He had 8 for 181. They had 428 yards, 8.7 yards per run. Not typical New Mexico game, but for Taron Gibson, they had the guys really wanted to see were the backups, and they kind of split the carries up a little bit. Richard McQuarrie, who we kind of figured would be the backup, had 13 for 55. Tyron Owens did pretty well, 10 of 48. And they had DeQuan Woodhouse, who had 4 for 68 in a 60-yard run. Nearly had a touchdown on that run there, that's a 60-yarder. So they have a lot of backs. I think losing Jarrell Presley, we wanted to see if that would be a big deal. We'll see that when they play better teams going forward, because, again, you're playing FCS teams, it's hard to really tell. So after getting a little scared, because they gave up probably more than they wanted to, like the starting running back for South Dakota had 131 yards. And there's two, and both the touchdowns early on. And so that was kind of a scary thought when New Mexico's tied 14 apiece. Then they finally pulled away and kind of did their thing and didn't have to worry about this team and just kind of put them out. So again, you're playing this type of team, not much to really say. Just kind of surprised Lamore Jordan didn't play at all. Davey says he could play next week, but until we see it, I guess they're sticking one QB in Lawan Lawson had a couple attempts there, and so he might be the true backup there. But with the way the offense clicked, it's good to see that they didn't need to bring in a quarterback on passing downs like they've done with Apodaca in the past, where they ran with Jordan as a starter. Apodaca comes in and will maybe throw a couple plays here or there on long down situations. So seeing one QB, probably positive for the Lobos, because we don't need to see rotating quarterbacks, because we've always said, if they get, even going back to Cole Gauchy, who's now at tight end when me and Chris were doing the show, if they could pretend to throw or have a guy who could throw okay, they'd be a very dangerous team. And if Austin Apodaca can, I saw some of this game doing the read option, doing the option plays that they do for this type of scheme. If they're going to do that and don't need the quarterback to run, and it'd be nice if Jordan could throw, but if Apodaca can do a little bit here and there, the running game, not that he needs to, but because what did he do? He had 7 for 41, so it looks like he was efficient enough. They don't need him to go off for like 8 for 90 or something like that. 7 for 41 is still 6 yards a carry. He did have 123 long run, but still, he put in the numbers there. They need him to maybe go 7 for 35, 7 for 8, 8 for 40, somewhere around there, 4 to 5 yards per carry to keep that keep him honest in the option game. But if he's going to do that and he can throw well, why not just stick with him and go forward? But we'll see when they play their game next week. Let's see really quick who they have. I'd anticipate discussing this much on their game. They play New Mexico State, so it's a road game, rival game. It's Mexico State's not great, obviously, but so we'll see what they decide to do at QB with that game. But a win for New Mexico, starting 1-0. It's pretty good. It's what they needed to do. They're at the point now with almost winning the division last year. They need to win all these games that they're, especially their favorite in FCS teams. Those type of situations should not be an issue for them. It should obviously never be an issue for them. But let's move on to the next game here. So we had another Thursday night game, and of course it is Jackson State is UNLV. As I say, of course, I'm not editing that part out. If I'm not ready to go, well, you guys can laugh at me, but I tried to think of the one game. But Jackson State, UNLV, they did the same thing. They crushed them 63-13. Probably the most fun people had outside of the first quarter was watching Jackson State's band at the half, because they have being from the that part of the country, that conference and HBCU school, they take a lot of pride in their band. But this was almost a game that's eerily similar to them playing the Rebels, I mean, I should say, beating Idaho State, where there's 80-8 last year. 63-13 were huge, huge out of the gate, scoring the first 28 points, had 43 at the half. We're on pace, just kind of joking online that, yeah, they're going to win by 80 or 90 points. But one thing you should know, check out one of our articles. Actually, 42 at the half, 42-10. You should check out one of our articles, not the recap one, but our guy Keith Shields put up one about the connection of Johnny Stanton and Devontae Boyd, who did pretty well. Stanton, he's the only QB that played, went 10 of 12, 217, okay, very efficient, playing a bad team, but all three went to Devontae Boyd, and we already knew that he was a good QB, and we knew Stanton was going to get a start, it seemed most likely, and then Tony Sanchez alluded to it, kind of even going back to spring. He should have been the guy the whole time, but these guys have a connection. I don't care if you're playing an FCS team, but three of your 10 passes go for touchdowns to that guy, and it's a pretty big deal if they have that type of connection. We know UNLV, we kind of said, was a fringe bowl team just because how they played last year, playing close to Michigan, UCLA, NIU, even Boise for about half a game. If they're able to knock off a team or so, they could be back in the bowl mix, and they seem to be a bit better overall. Again, playing Jackson State, whatever. This should be expected. This is also a note. This is their first home, or not even home, but season opening victory since 09 when they beat another FCS team, Sacramento State. And like the third play from the game, Boyd caught a 56-yard touchdown pass. And so they took the business to Jackson State because they UNLV wants to be taken seriously and they want to come up big like they did last year versus Idaho State. So they need to do this, maybe not necessarily win by 30 to 50 points, but if they can do this against teams, because they have obviously a lot more tougher games coming up on the schedule. They're not just playing FCS schools, but go check out the article. It's pretty good about how these guys have the connection, how this could be a big deal, because that's one of the things we're concerned about with them. We knew Boyd was a good receiver. Also losing Kendall Keys, not an issue, at least in this first game right now, but them winning by 40 points and having that connection between the two guys, that's a pretty big deal. And also, like I said, there was no Kurt Palahniuk. That was the other interesting note about this team. Like, oh, they're going to play Palahniuk because it's a close race throughout camp. They did bring in, you have Dalton Snead for one freshman QB out of Scottsdale, 1-for-1 with 6 passing yards. So they brought him in to do a little bit. All right, very little, but so I don't know. Maybe we'll see if Palahniuk does it, but I'm not entirely sure. And then a rushing game, another thing we wanted to look at, like who would be the running game, because that's kind of what has been missing a little bit since Tim Cornette, at least on my side, I would say. They had Lexington Thomas, 68 yards. So Charles Williams had a nice 96-yard game. Xavier Campbell, another guy. Williams kind of came out of nowhere, but Campbell had 52 on 10 attempts. We'll see. It's early. Like I said, it's early. It's hard to tell how good they really are, but good victory, good win. And, yeah, if Rebels want to be taken seriously, they need to especially if they want to get to be bowl eligible, they cannot lose these type of games. All right, now we go on to Friday, and man, whew. Since I kind of messed up and mentioned Cal Poly, they played Nevada, went to freaking overtime against Cal Poly. Nevada ended up winning 30-27. This game seemed pretty much over, up 21-7 in the first quarter, but then the Wolfpack's defense and offense kind of like came to a screeching halt, because if you look what Nevada did, Tyler Stewart did pretty well, 17 for 23, a pair of TDs. James Butler had a big game as expected, 2 touchdowns, 21 for 123. One note I did see is Sean Henderson, who apparently is not the starter. I mean, Matt mentioned that last week. I noticed he's a backup. I guess I was talking to Chris Murray of the Reno Gazette Journal during the game. Like, hey, what's up with him? Just saying he's been passed on the depth chart and not as good as the talent they have, because he likes the receiving core pretty good. He had one reception for 3 yards. But then it's like the offense did nothing, because they, after going up 24-10 at the half, they didn't score again until overtime, where they scored the game-winning touchdown after allowing a field goal. But Cal Poly does run a triple-option offense. That was a concern we had with Nevada losing like Ian Sale and other guys up front. But with them, triple-option team, they'll get the yards. But they just allowed over 5 yards per carry, but 71 rushes that Cal Poly did. And then I guess they woke up, because they allowed, here's the thing, third quarter, no points. It was the fourth quarter when Cal Poly came alive. Like, all right, let's score some points here. They got in the end zone. And yeah, they a million closer than what this game should have been. And like, total yards, Cal Poly outrushed them, gained them. Time possession, Cal Poly. Turnover was actually +1 for Nevada, so it wasn't like they were turning over the balls or anything, turning over the balls, fumbling, interceptions. They were just not getting it done. Like, both teams were pretty efficient on third down. Both were 50%. Cal Poly had an amazing 10 of 20, then 3 of 4 on fourth downs, which kept plenty of drives alive. So that's part of it, too. But penalties, it's weird. Nevada should have won. Penalties were in favor of Nevada. They only had 4. They had 9 to Cal Poly. It's shouldn't have happened. It's just the offense kind of stalled in that second half, and defense just gave up some points as well in the last little bit. But luckily, in overtime, they came out to get the victory. The other game, which I mentioned kind of our snap hits, like bumpkins of the week. I went a trio version. One of those was Colorado State. Okay, we all knew it was Nick Stevens. There was no secret it was not going to be Nick Stevens because he, as I've said for a while, 21 passing touchdowns led the Mountain West. And he even missed, or not even missed, but shared time with Cole McKee last year for a little bit. Well, his first couple of possessions were terrible against Colorado. He actually got benched for a little bit. Oh, the score, by the way, if you're wondering, 44-7 for Colorado over Colorado State. Rams had literally nothing going. Like, Nick Stevens was 6 of 20, 2 interceptions. Fountain Batu, obviously the Georgia transfer, came in, did better, moved the ball a little bit when he got in. He actually drove down. He had a touchdown, one of the only touchdown of the game, the fourth quarter for Colorado State, 6-9 for 32 yards. He hooked up with Marcus Wilson for a short 5-yarder in the red zone. But Colorado State, the passing game, man, Sefo Lefuyu just torched them through over 300 yards, a touchdown. This is a game where the Rams couldn't move the ball and couldn't stop anybody. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, the ground game had 4 rushing touchdowns against him for the Buffs. It's not like Colorado's going to be great. They're probably going to finish 5th or 6th in the Pac-12 South division. But, man, it's just embarrassing where people are talking about Big 12. We're going to Big 12. We're going to get in. We got the market. We got a good team. And then they blow it, essentially, in this game where they can't do a dang thing in this game. And I don't know what to say, man. There's got to be, like, obviously, of course, we put an article up today by one of our CSU guys about how Rams are going to reassess the QB situations. Of course, you're going to reassess the freaking QB situation when you can't move the ball at all. Even the backup when Balta was in there, it's not like he was doing great things. He did just enough to move the ball and was not overly terrible. He had more passing yards, one more passing yard in what he did, but moving the ball. But Rams were stuck on third down, 5 of 16, gave up 12 of 19 third down attempts for Colorado. So Colorado, when they got in a jam, they got out of it, where the Rams clearly denied. There's a pair of interceptions, is minus two, where there's 4 turnovers for Rams overall. Colorado obviously dominated more first downs, time of possession. Rams won the penalties, only 1 for 15. I guess Matt Stevens made a joke, at least they're not getting upset or being penalized for doing stupid things, getting beat. But, man, unless Colorado's going to really surprise us, which if they surprise me, they're going to a bowl game, which is probably really overachieving for the Buffs. But, man, I don't see how. I don't see how it's season open, a lot of stuff changes for next week, but Rams got a lot of work to do if we're going to get something done. And I assume we'll have the quarterback going back and forth for the at least for this week, and we'll see if there's any changes where they may bring about. I doubt we'll see Colin Hill, the freshman, but it's got maybe I'll change my tune and go to Bouts instead, and I don't know. We'll see what practice does next week. So I'm trying to pull up who they play. I wish I'd be better prepared for the next schedule, but they play Buffs opening week. I believe they have an FCS team here. Let's see if my internet's fast enough to catch up. No, UTSA. So that's a reasonably okay opponent. Another quick pause, super quick. Kevin Davis had a career high 19 tackles with Colorado. So most for a Ram in a couple years. So yay for him, for Davis there. But Saturday, let's go on to Saturday here. We got a lot of Saturday games. Next week, every game Saturday. So all 12 games non-conference are Saturday. But let's start with the early games. We'll go with Nick Rolovich. I know you're a funny guy joking about Air Force One, having water balloon fights during on April Fool's Day for spring football, going through and doing jokingly asking Jim Harbaugh for video of his spring camp to get an idea of what he's running there, and then apologizing to fans on Twitter who thought he was legit and thinking that was an actual request. I kind of mentioned this before. If you're not winning or getting close, that's a tough thing to joke around. Well, they lost 63-3 against Michigan. I know Michigan's really good. They're a top 10 team. And I thought Hawaii could do a little bit because me and Chris tried to, maybe we're kind of stretching and reaching to see how good they could be, but figured at least offensively this could be a better game, or defensively this could be an easier game because there'd be less passing. Well, that was the case where Michigan was 17 of 20 for 206. Highly efficient. three touchdowns. They did have a pick, but it was a ground game where Michigan averaged over 7.5 yards per run, four TDs on the ground, and yeah, they just smothered him. And like I said, 63-3, 35-0 at halftime. Not even close. Hawaii went to Drew Brown late in the game. He went 5 of 10. Woosley got benched 7 of 13. Each had a pick. A rushing game, which we knew was a strength, and that was talking to some Michigan people about the game. They're like, well, we know that Hawaii can run pretty well, and that might be an area where they could kind of hang around a bit longer. Well, when Drew Brown, your QB, leads the team in rushing 5 for 49, not a good idea. Laka Laka, 40 yards. We were singing the praises of Dice Mason just last week. 12 for 15, so I know schedule's extremely tough. The one bright spot, Marcus Kemp, is still their go-to guy, 5 for 96. Defense needs to be better. Everything needs to be better in this game. There's just a poor outcome. They play UT Martin next week. That's a chance to see what they're going to do. And there's a possibility, I'm hearing, that there could be a QB, obviously, from the game as well, but other people are saying this game, or this team for Hawaii, might have a go back to a QB competition, because I guess Woosley, he's a good practice QB, similar to what he was with Norm Chow, but what he's doing with in games, not great. So I'll take a quick timeout here as a code for me to grab a soda, and you guys will hear something for about 60 seconds. So stick around, and we'll be back in a moment. All right, the next game. Another early game, Boise State at Louisiana Lafayette, or is it Louisiana? Or I'll just go with the Raging Cajuns, because I see at Louisiana, I see at Louisiana Lafayette, I see ULL, so I see a bunch of things where it changes. But they won big, 45-10. If you're able to watch the game in Idaho, kudos. A little tad tricky. You had to go to the Watch ESPN app only. But if you're outside, there's American Sports Network or even Altitude in some areas. But they pulled out the trick plays. Of course, you had Thomas Burbeck with the 48-yard touchdown pass. It was just a dominant game. Brett Rypien, 22-33, 347. Wasn't really close. It was 14-0 at the break, 35-3 at the half. Spurbeck shows why he's one of the best receivers, including that touchdown pass, which he's done multiple times. He also caught 130 yards six receptions. But one guy, we're like, who's going to step up? Because we know the receiving core is not deep. Like, Jake Grohl had no receptions, which is pretty shocking. But then it's Cedric Wilson. Kind of come out of nowhere, 7 for 113 and a touchdown himself. McNichols had the other touchdown in through the air. Both Wilson is a junior receiver. He had 7 for 113. Trying to see what he did last year, if this thing works here perhaps. But it's good to have multiple. Oh, here we go. It looks good to have another receiving threat because, oh, maybe not. Dang it. Maybe I should not use ESPN, but we'll pass. We don't need to discuss too much on this blowout victory. But having another receiver, Spurbeck, yeah, Louisiana Lafayette's not a great team. They're in the Sun Belt. Not to diss too much on the Sun Belt, but they're not one of the better teams in that conference. And I don't care. Seeing another guy get a lot of receptions, a lot of yards, and in the end zone, it's a pretty big deal. Thomas Stewart come in for a reception, make a reception completion, 1 for 1. And the only one, if I don't have any criticism, McNichols had 9 carries for 48 yards. But I guess when you're airing it out, because those TD passes, you had four passes over 30 yards, 3 over 40, which were touchdowns. So I guess if you're slinging it that well, no need to give McNichols the ground game. But you had a decent game. Alexander Mattson, backup, 11 for 61, had the other rushing touchdown. It should be noted, McNichols, even though 9 carries, 10 TDs, he touched the ball 12 times, 3 touchdowns. Solid. Next week they play Washington State, who lost to an FCS team. So, and looking at the lines right now, Boise's already 11-point favorites at home. So we'll see if that's actually a game because, well, people thought Washington State would be pretty good. All right, next game, Abilene Christian Air Force. Whew, kind of an ugly one. They gave up too many points, 37-21. Air Force was without a key defensive back, which defensive player, I think it was a lot. Oh, shoot, I had it before. Lapio was out. They had one starter out in the secondary, which is where a lot of the yards came in the air, because I was kind of commenting on Twitter where I was kind of hit or miss watching this game. There's a lot of stuff going on Saturday, so can't always key into every single game. But they gave up 274 passing yards and over 50% to Dallas Sealy from Abilene Christian. Air Force is up big 28-7, so it's not like this game was in doubt, but too many points. And for a team that we thought the defense would be as good as it was with Tim Drueter there back a couple years ago, I get it. Losing, having not having one of your starting defensive backs in the game is a big deal, but you can't give up 76-yard plays, 40-plus yard plays against any team. They held the rushing game against Christian very low, 2.8 yards per carry, but whatever. They won. They did well enough. Owens had no touchdowns, but over 119 yards. They won. Whatever. FCS team, let's move on. 37-21. Nate Romine, they passed a bit more. 5 of 10, had a touchdown as well. So let's move on because we don't need to make this too long because I know our preview was 100 or well over 100 minutes, was it? Actually, I think it's exactly 100 minutes, 1 hour and 40 minutes. So next game, Tulsa versus Air Force. Oh, my goodness. Man, this game, the score is, I want to give San Jose State some credit. Yes, they lost big. They were down 24-7 in the first quarter. There was just a stretch of this game that really just kind of crushed them and took them out of the game. Because it was actually, was it a 7-7 at one point to start the game, obviously, when they scored. But then there was a, if you look at the drive chart, there was a pick six. Kenny Potter gave up that. There was a fumble. Or let me back up before. One more. Tulsa scored a touchdown to make a field goal to make it 10-7. Okay. Then they made it 17-7 on a touchdown there. So they scored 10 in the row really quick. Then just the wheels fall off after those 10 points. Interception for a touchdown, 24-7. San Jose State fumbles. Tulsa turns that into a touchdown. So that makes it 24 after the pick, then 31-7 after the fumble recovery. Then it's all punt, 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 punt. Touchdown, Tulsa, and they score on, that's only touchdown the second half. They just got worked like, and it was you got the turnovers and passing game. Dane Evans didn't do anything crazy because if you look at Tulsa when they have Phillip Montgomery, who's the former OC Baylor down there with RG3, this is his year two. Dane Evans led the American in passing last year, extremely efficient, throws for hundreds. I think his average last year was 330 yards. But this game, as we've said a long time, and for the past couple of years, it's been the rush defense, which has been awful. And well, it was this today. Tulsa ran it for 58 for 305 yards. Over 5 yards of carry. So again, Tulsa just you took advantage of that. It doesn't help when Christian Tago was out as well. What would he have saved? 25 yards? I don't know. A touchdown wouldn't have mattered all that much. Honestly, sorry. Spartans fans, both him not being there wouldn't have made that much of a difference. So offense was terrible, not very good. Kenny Potter did okay. Completed over 2/3, had a touchdown and a pick. Running game out there, Dante Cooper, 43 yards, only 2 yards of carry, long of 6. Jeez, they averaged 1.7 yards per carry. That's just ridiculous. Part of it sacks by Potter, but, man, San Jose State's got to do something. I don't know what they'll do, if they'll get a chance. Because here's what it was. We kind of felt there was a big swing where they could be. I think I put them at 4-8. I think Matt had them 8-4. I think Chris was in between their bowl game. But they play Portland State next week. This would be a good chance for them to get back into this game, into the season, and fix those mistakes they had this game. I know Tulsa's, people don't realize Tulsa's a pretty good team. In America, you hear about Houston, you hear about like Temple, even though they lost to Army this week in their opener, but you got like Cincinnati. But if you look at what they're doing in Tulsa, they are a very, very good team, and they are making the play. So, yeah, that's it. So, sorry, San Jose State fans. We'll move on. Let's get going quickly. We've got a couple games left here. We don't need to make this extremely long. Fresno at Nebraska. Check out Matt Kennelly's recap, his tweets. He was at the game. And this game, yeah, okay, here's the thing. This is honestly, it's dumb to say, the closest 43-10 game ever, but it was actually close. And Fresno showed some signs. It was 0-0 for about 85% of the first quarter. Nebraska scored late in the first quarter, go up 7-0. Ended up being 14-10 to half. Fresno settled for a field goal late instead of getting a touchdown. There was a small scary point when Chase and Virgil came out, but Zach Klein came in, actually did pretty well. So I don't know if there's a QB issue or controversy, but Virgil went 17-32, had 133. Not great, but Zach Klein, the Cal transfer, actually transferred from Cal twice, went 7-11 for 110 yards. So he moved the ball pretty well, had a pick as well. But it's mostly the inefficiency of Fresno State running the ball when they needed to be, and Nebraska just pushing them around. Like, they ran for over nearly 300 yards. Five of their six touchdowns came on the ground. And can't have that happen. So we'll check out the QB situation. Trying to recall exactly what happened. This is one of the games I was flipping around, so I didn't see exactly when he came in, like when Virgil was. I know Virgil came out for a little injury, like a little shoulder thing in the first half, but I'm trying to recall what happened about later on, but it could have just been a benching for a little bit. So hopefully, because what we've seen with Fresno, they also missed a field goal early on, which, whatever, not that big a deal, but stuff happens, and that could have swung it a little bit. But what we've seen in the past for when you have Dave Schramm there running the offense, is QB change because they're terrible. He'd gotten the psyche. They weren't doing good. Wasn't really because of injury. Well, Virgil's last year was, but there's a reason we call it the quarterback. They would just change QBs. And this year, we're hoping that with a new overhaul in the offense, Tim Drewder's still there, but kind of making changes where, okay, have a new OC, and let's keep the guys we have in there and let them play and not hurt themselves by, or hurt their conscience or psyche by, all right, you're going to get pulled just because you had a bad series or a bad, even just a bad play, not even a bad series, because last year we'd see is like a freaking yo-yo out there. I'm trying to, and when he came in for Zach Klein, I'm referring to have like kind of vent a little bit. He came in, let's see, when the game was, he had his one stretch, he came in late, so he had a few, I think this is right, I think ESPN's drives are correct here, I want to say, but he came in early and also came in late, and he, like I say, he did okay, so I don't know if there's a QB controversy, we'll see if that's the case, but at least they know that if he comes in, he can make some plays, so that's something that's good to know for Fresno State, but don't be expecting him to win, but it's just a fourth quarter where wheels fell off, because it was only 21-10 going into the fourth quarter. Nebraska scored right away to go up 28-10 to kind of put it away officially, but yeah, defense got to step up. So next game, San Diego State, New Hampshire. If you saw this game, you would have been there in person. So congratulations on filling up the queue a little bit for this game. Again, FCS team, top of New Hampshire. Pretty simple game, 31-0. Good for the defense to get a shutout against this team. And here's a couple things I've noticed from reading about the game. Christian Chapman threw better than Mack Smith in most games last year. Sorry, but I'll say it one or two more times. 16-25 for 288, a couple TDs. So pretty efficient, almost 300 yards, which is very good. And then he had Pumphrey, didn't need to play much, had 98 yards, and then also had another 41 on the ground. He did not get in the return game, even though he's scheduled to punt, or punt return and kick return. He'd actually Quest Truxton back there, no Rashad Penny taking any special team snaps. Penny did have 9 for 33 and a touchdown on the ground. So a good win. Christian Chapman looks pretty good, but again, it's playing New Hampshire. It's hard to really tell. But when they're allowing him to throw that much, that seems to be more confidence they're giving to him going into his second full year as he played, what, 2-plus games, I want to say, last year. So when they play Cal next week, that'll be a very intriguing game to see, because if San Diego State wants to be in the mix for a New Year's Six game, got to maybe hope Houston loses since they upset Oklahoma, but good start. Good warm-up, good tune-up game. Defense did great, like I said. Had interception, shut them out. And just the overall, and when you play FCS teams, people want, if you don't win 60-0, people think something's wrong. You win 31-0, you give up 70 passing yards, 141 total yards overall given up. There's not much more dominant you can be unless you offensively scores 80 points, but get some backups in there, let some other guys play. And then one of the biggest bright spots, which is good, is Micah Holder caught 4 for 160, 2 touchdowns, had a deep 86-yarder for one of the scores there. So we'll see if he picks it up and is going to be the guy we're going forward and where he is receiver. Because me and Matt kind of said, if San Diego State gets a passing game, they're far and away the best team in the conference. Because with Boise State, defense is still an issue, but their offense is very explosive, as we saw in their opener. So if Aztecs can get a good passing game, couple that with Pumphrey and the ground attack or defense attack, man, whew, stop of them, very, very difficult. Then the late game, if you stay up for this one, I applaud you very well. There was a multi-hour, nearly two-hour, I think, lightning weather delay. Supposed to kick at 8:30 local time. Got going about 10:20, I want to say. If you're on the East Coast, you're up until 4:30 in the morning, I believe it was. 2:30 in Laramie. Big victory, triple overtime, 40-34 victory over NIU. This is the team of the week. Wyoming gets a win. This is a win where we weren't too confident about Wyoming just because the pass defense wasn't very good. Even though they were young, they have guys back now who are freshman All-American on this roster as well from the secondary last year. We knew they could probably score some points. We weren't too sure about DQB Josh Allen. And well, he showed up pretty well, had 245 yards, two touchdowns. And if you it's on our website at the final play of the game in overtime where he's scrambling. He has some freaking wheels on him, 10 for 70, where he scrambled and ran and got the game winner in triple overtime. This is going to be a team. I know it's early, but it's hard to tell. Week one, I know we're overanalyzing a little bit, but when you're playing FCS teams, you're getting blown out by Colorado or Hawaii versus Michigan, losing by 60 points. Boise beating up on at least they played FBS teams. So give Boise credit there this time. They won pretty big. And so seeing Wyoming beat a team in the MAC who's won the MAC, dominated the MAC the past couple of years, are not expected to be the winner this year. But winning 40-34, yeah, in triple overtime. Brian Hill had a game for him, 33 for 125. Again, it's like Josh Allen. They probably need a backup QB, Sean Wick, or running back, I should say. Wick had only 7 carries for 19. But passing game, like I said, Allen did pretty good. But on the other end of that, Tanner Gentry did his thing, 8 for 104. But they had Jake Moldhart, 5 for 106. So if they have and 21 yard average per catch, so that's up there. That's very good. If these two guys are the real deal, and Josh Allen is a QB who didn't turn the ball over once this game, which is pretty big against NIU or any team really, but playing a team of their caliber, the MAC, it's excellent way they could open up the season. But there are issues with Wyoming. Secondary, they allowed Drew Hare to complete 329 yards, 3 passing touchdowns. The rush defense did pretty good. They only allowed Kevin Galladay 82 yards on the ground. Did have 13 per rush, but secondary needs issue. That also allowed, I should read this closely. I'm like, oh, Kenny Galladay only had this much. Again, I didn't really watch this game because it's so late, so I'm kind of going off box scores, going off recaps. But he's a wide receiver, led the team in rushing, which is doubly negative for Wyoming. If a receiver who was sitting at 6'4", 213 leads the team in rushing and does a pretty good job getting 82 yards, he also caught 10 for 144, so he was pretty much unstoppable. 3 TDs in the game. But overall, that Wyoming secondary's got to do better, man. Giving up 329 yards in the air. If they could improve on that, they would. Drew Hare is a good QB, so it's not like you're giving it up against some rando dude who's not that great. But huge win for Wyoming. Capping off at 2:30 local time or something to get the win. They're sitting at 1-0 on the air. And if we're going to do a quick power rankings here, because we are bringing that back, obviously. I'm not going to go over my underdog poll. Obviously, Houston's number one for me. But if you kind of go through my week one rankings overall, when I do the power poll really quick for the underdog thing, I'm probably going to make some, like I mentioned with Matt, about if you play an FCS team, you're probably not going to be high up for me. So like San Diego State in that poll might not be number one for me, or they wouldn't be, but probably wouldn't be in the top third. We'll see how I feel about that when I actually fill out that poll later. But conference-wise, I'm kind of going by overall what I see. And number one, I think it comes affected a little bit. I know people say we're homers or Boise, but they played the FBS team. Aztecs did not. So I'd probably stick Boise 1. Probably be similar to what I was thinking the offseason. Boise 1, San Diego State 2. They're both dominant in my mix. But then number 3 team, I guess by who he played, I got to stick what? Wyoming? Am I really saying that? Is Wyoming my 3rd team? They beat a good FBS team. So I could stick, for me, I'd put Wyoming 3. Utah State was pretty dominant 4. I'm trying to go off. I wish I had schedules here, but that's my top 4 there. Then probably some combination after Utah State, New Mexico, Air Force, UNLV, somewhere in that mix, because I'll beat up on FCS teams. I want probably Fresno, since they had the best loss. Probably to go Nevada there. So that's probably my top. I know I'm rambling, but let's just stick with my top 4 here because I didn't write this down. I thought of it off the fly. I'd go Boise, San Diego State, Wyoming, number 3. And then I'll stick with 3. I guess I could do Utah State 4, but we'll stick with that. My top 3 after week 1, when Rams lose, go down, when you're playing FCS teams, I give Wyoming some cred, man. Stick them at number 3 in the power rankings week 1. we'll see what they do going forward. Like, if Josh Allen's a real deal at QB, that's a big plus for them. And you gotta have a pass defense, guys. Cowboys gotta have some sort of pass defense here. But that's our show for tonight. No need to go too much further into this with it's me by myself. I don't need to look too far ahead of who Wyoming's playing or the schedule or whatnot, partly because my internet's slowing down on me, so I'm gonna wrap it up here. But thanks for bearing with me for this solo show. Hopefully gave you some insight, and hoping for next week when we actually play some good teams on the schedule. They play Nebraska next week, that's right. Oh man. We'll see if Wyoming's a real deal at Nebraska. Oh yes, I remember looking at this 24-point dog right now as of a Sunday night. So like I said, that's our show for tonight. Just right about an hour. Hopefully when we get Matt back, it'll be entertaining a bit better. But check us out. We are, again, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes. Blog Talk Radio is our main point of access. No more Google Play, partly because the way it calculates our statistics, it wasn't beneficial for us to have people listening there, unfortunately. I know we want to know who's listening and where and how to help everybody out. So if we think we're only getting one listener for Google Play, even though there could be hundreds, as I say hundreds, okay, I chuckle. we get dozens. I should go dozens of people who join. But yeah, so Google Play is out of it. So if you have Android, go to Stitcher. We're definitely there in Stitcher. So I use that for Android as well as Pocket Cast. So it's kind of a programming out there. But we'll be back every game Saturday. So this show will probably do, I think we'll still stick with Matt's schedule. Post this, we'll have a show up next Wednesday night to give you a couple of days to listen to it. But we have some great stuff this week. We'll have odds post for like another game week. We'll do that. We'll have Matt do a video. We'll do power rankings, power poll, underdog poll come out Tuesday. We'll have a few other pieces due to like the QB stuff, man. There's QB stuff going on. So we'll kind of get into that. But that's the show for tonight. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. And yeah.